alive.
Is this thing on?
Hello?
Anybody out there?
Is there anybody out there? Just give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. Is there anyone at all?
Anyway, this doesn't look that interesting. Maybe this looks interesting. Jesus loves you.
Did we do the badge one yet?
Which one? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Barry.
I've been looking for something to do this weekend.
Yeah. Hey, Candy. Annette's there. Hey, Annette. Our friend Tammy gave us this. Because she's in love with that movie, or the series The Chosen, which I can't get enough of it. I just think it's so good. I can't wait for season 4. It's going to be great. So we need a bunch of these, don't we?
Yeah.
Did she only give you one?
Yeah, we have to order them. What, she had to order them off the website or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Tammy, if you're out there, can you order us a bunch of these, please? Thank you. And give the bill to Barry. Thank you. What's going on, guys? What's up, yo? Hi. How are you guys today? So, you're probably wondering why in the world we're over here at this place. We're actually doing a little maintenance on our sprayer. Something that we should have done a long time ago, but it kind of got away from us and we just didn't do it. What's up, Kev? Hey, we were just talking about your wife giving us the Binge Jesus stickers. We like to place our orders for more Binge Jesus stickers. You can bring them to the church. I'm sure Candy and Annette and everybody else listening would probably love to have a Binge Jesus sticker, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, we're over here off Page and Chutes having our sprayer maintenance. And should have done it a long time ago, but we didn't. And now...
It's
kind of like our walk with Jesus. And it absolutely has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. But it's just a little bonus. So make sure you're doing what you can to maintain your walk with the Lord. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you, is what Jesus said in John 15. So, first of all, it's Memorial Day weekend. Woo-hoo. So thank you to all of our vets, both living and the ones that have passed away. We appreciate your service. This is a weekend to remember all the vets and what they've done for us. And we are deeply grateful for the vets, right?
That's right.
Barry, one of my favorite episodes of Gilligan's Island back in the day is when these cannibal people or these bad people came to the island and they imprisoned the whole gang. And at the end of the thing, headhunters. I can't remember exactly what happened because it's been many years, obviously. But I remember Gilligan being behind this like bamboo jail. And I remember him breaking out. He said, "Make way for the Red Ball Express!" And he blew out, and he broke out of jail. And I always wondered what the Red Ball Express was, right? Well, I now know through study, and I guess in some sense, Barry, I'm kind of a minor World War II buff. I'm fascinated by the strategy. I'm fascinated by the history of it. Fascinated by the individual stories of heroism and leadership. And all of these things, right? When America and Great Britain and the Allied forces were facing what looked like, Barry, early in the war, imminent defeat.
Right.
Well, we now know that it didn't go like that. But one of the things that fascinated me was this thing they call the Red Ball Express. And the Red Ball Express was actually kind of a nickname. It actually denoted anything that moved transit with rapidness. I think it was even in the 1800s, but this particular Red Ball Express was a highway of sorts that would take the Allied, when they invaded Normandy, the beaches of Normandy, they would take all of the equipment, they would put it on this Red Ball Express, which was a highway, and they would get all of the supplies that our troops needed into the inner heart of Europe, right? Primarily staffed by African Americans. At one time, they were moving 6,000 vehicles per day on a Red Ball Express, and it only went for about 80 days, just until they were able to get France's railroad system back up an order after we bombed them. We bombed them, the smithereens, right? But anyway, I started thinking about. I was talking to a friend of mine today who's having a little bit of a struggle, and this guy is a veteran to the war, as far as being a Christian. He has been in this war because, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And when you say yes to Jesus, you find yourself thrust into this war that between the good and evil, and you can even sense it in yourself. Read Romans chapter 7 if you want to see the struggle is real. Right. You can sense it even in yourself. But this particular guy is a veteran to the wars and has taken many hits. And the victory is mine, thus saith the Lord, right? So even though in this walk with Jesus, you're going to face all kinds of individual defeats, ultimately, we're declared victorious by Jesus, right? When I think about this picture, I would see on like individual like movies and stuff, and it would show these fresh-faced young soldiers full of everything and vinegar, and they're going into the war. There was a kind of, you could read it on their faces as they rolled by in all the trucks, and you could read the fear, the anxiety, the probably overplayed bravado at some people. They were kind of new to this thing, and they thought they were going to go and be heroes. And then you would see them pass on the Red Ball Express, soldiers that had already been in the fight, and they were headed home, and they didn't look anything, Barry, like the guys headed into the battle.
Right.
You see, these guys were coming back, and they were the guys that, you know, they were dirt on them, and their uniforms had blown off, and their, hey, Michael, these... I had a picture of these little grizzled up veterans with, you know, big beards and like little bitty cigars, and they're just like, you don't know what you're getting into, kid. And these young people, you don't know anything. We're going to go in there. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I think about this walk with Jesus, right? And we see young people get saved, and they're not really what you would call seasoned veterans. They haven't been through the individual battles with our enemy yet. And I think sometimes they think it's going to be butterflies. What's that thing Alf always says? Butterflies and ice cream, or butterflies and lollipops and puppies or whatever.
Puppies and rainbows.
But when you said yes to Jesus, you've picked a battle with the biggest enemy and the biggest bully in the history of the world. You now have an adversary that now you are on the map, right? And each step, and I don't really like this saying, but I think it holds true in a sense, new level, new devil. So when you decide to step out and do something for Jesus, maybe it's a leader, maybe it's a ministry, maybe it's just to serve. Each time you step out, you don't think for a second it goes unnoticed by our enemy, right? Well, ironically, Barry, you know what it was that caused the most damage to the Red Ball Express? You would think, whoa, Barry, the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force, you would think, right? Not necessarily, because the German Luftwaffe, the most amazing flying team in the history of the world at that point, we had pretty much decimated it, right? So by the time this Red Ball Express was going on, by the time the troops were rolling into Europe, the Luftwaffe was, in a sense, rendered helpless. So the bombing really didn't happen because they had already been neutered, if you will, right? A lot of the damage, most of the impact in a negative way that happened with the Red Ball Express were the trucks getting bogged down in mud.
The mire. Right?
The mire. The muck. And I think, as a Christian, you know, our enemy, in a sense, has been neutered. The victory has been given to Jesus. He won the battle 223 some odd years ago, right? But I think a lot of times, as soldiers in the war, we get bogged down in our own weight of all these things that we do, all of these, and I guess you could bring sin into the equation, Barry, but not always just sin. How about just being, I've got too much going on, and it actually freezes you, and you just get stuck. So a lot of times these trucks would have to, you know, they'd stop, and they'd offload all of the stuff.
To get the truck out,
and then they would dig it out, and they'd put it on solid ground, and then they would go up the road again. So I'm encouraging you guys to understand the enemy. Paul says we're not unaware of how the enemy works, right? He'll put brother against brother, sister against brother, brother in this and brother in that, and bring division and all of these things, because the devil really only has, our enemy is a real enemy, but he only has a few tactics. And why does he use them? Because they work so well.
Yeah.
They work well.
They're true.
But I'm thinking, you know, and you think about, if you think about the fresh faces, these guys going into battle, completely naive on how this thing was really going to be, and the grizzled veterans coming out of the battle going, kid, you have no idea what you're getting ready to get into, right? I think about Christians saying, well, the devil, I'm going to come out there and I'm going to do this to the devil and I'm going to smack him around. You know, that's a really naive thing to say as a young Christian. Right. You know, the best thing to do is just fly under the radar. You know, I don't think you go out and pick a fight with the devil. It's already going on. I don't think you go out and disrespect the enemy. And I have it in the scripture. My main scripture I want to use is found in Jude. Now I want you to picture this. This is Michael, the archangel, one of the most mighty angels. He is a warring angel. It's not like Gabriel. Gabriel's a tough guy, too, I'd imagine, right, Barry? But oh, yeah. Gabriel was more of an announcer. Hey, this is going to go on, and this is going to happen, and to you a child is born, all of this stuff. But Michael, his job, he's a warrior. But watch what he says in Jude. Or what he doesn't say, Paul says about Michael, the archangel. But even Michael, this is found in Jude 1, verse 9. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. I just thought about there that, Barry, we're going, you know, a lot of naive people out there, and you think that the devil is somebody that we should not respect. He is the defeated foe. He's defeated because Christ defeated him, and you're defeated. You are victorious simply and only because of Christ's victory.
Right.
But don't be a naive and go out there, and it just doesn't go well for you.
Right.
Right. It won't go well. I have one more note over here, Barry, that I'm. So there was another story that I think is pertinent to this. So. I think they called the Bataan Death March, right? It's when we lost, or the Philippines was overtaken by the Japanese. And they marched our veterans, I don't even know how many miles, 100 miles in the hot sun. And they were sick, they were wounded, and they marched and marched and marched. And a lot of the soldiers died because they just died of fatigue. And if you fell down and stayed down, they would come by and shoot you or stab you or whatever. A lot of times, if a buddy fell down, if I'm going down, Barry comes along, this soldier would literally get, I'm just going to say what it was, get up in this other soldier laying down, saying, "You better get up or you're going to be dead." And I think as Christians, sometimes when you see a soldier take a hit, a fellow soldier, because we are soldiers in this war, right?
Yep.
It's okay sometimes to say, get your butt up and start moving, because you've been laying around in the mud, in the mire, and you've been, woe is me, and all of this stuff, and you're sitting duck for the enemy to come up and do something bad, right?
Yep.
So sometimes it's a time to rebuke and correct. All scripture is useful, that it says, right, for teaching and rebuking. And I think sometimes it's okay to a fellow soldier that you're traveling with on this journey, this faith journey, to say, knock it off. Stop playing a pity party for yourself. This isn't about you. Get up and start moving. Because first of all, you're slowing everybody down. And you're ultimately, if you don't get up and get moving, it's going to be hard. It's going to be bad for you. And I think a fellow soldier, as we do that, Barry, you're doing your fellow soldier a service.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let me flip this thing around, Barry.
Well, you were talking about early Christians, the battle is real, spiritual battle. And you know, it's funny too, because when you say that about, I'm going to go kick the devil's butt, you got to remember this battle goes on. Now you have an enemy that's relentless. His job is to defeat you from following Christ. That's his job. And he's never going to give up. And you think you're going to go win in one battle? This battle goes on forever until we die or Jesus comes back. It's not going to just stop. He's on a mission, take you down, separate you from Christ. That's his mission. And it's like you said, when you see a fallen soldier, it's our job to help pick them up, encourage them, and get going again. And there, to be honest, there's a few soldiers right now that are kind of laying around. We've been talking about the mire the last few weeks in some of our messages about people get comfortable in their mire. You should not be comfortable in your mire. You need to get back on solid ground and get going again. That's the whole mission, is to keep moving forward. Don't give the devil a foothold, because it only takes just a short time for him to sneak up again. You know, and we're in a battle, and it's, we have to stay prepared, because when you're not prepared, that's when he shows up. When you're ready, you got your helmet, when you got all the armor on, you do pretty good. But when you set your armor down, that's when he shows up. He's relentless.
So moving target's hard to hit, Bear, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And we got, personally, we can say that because we've been doing this a long time in this battle. And sometimes this wears you down, just like those guys you were talking about. Like, I need a break. I need a shift change. Somebody else go fight for a while. But just like those warriors, we're going to get beat up. We're going to be patches all over us, bandanas on. And just like, it's like you said earlier about the kid, the young kids, like, you have no idea what you're up against. You're not going to defeat the devil in one little battle. It's an ongoing thing. So keep that in mind. So it's a long walk, and this walk gets crazy sometimes, but don't give up. And if maybe you've fallen right now, maybe you just need to get, we encourage you to get back up now and get moving again. Don't get stuck in the mire.
The mire sucks, Barry.
It does suck. Real bad.
Guys, have a great week. And some of you guys will see tonight as we celebrate Robbie King's. You know, his battle is over, Barry.
Right.
And we're going to celebrate his life together tonight at church from 6:30 to 8 o'clock and have a little fun with that. So, like you said, he fought hard, and hopefully... he impacted some lives. I know he impacted my life and several people that I know. So hopefully we get to share a little bit, have a little fun tonight, and celebrate a life with Robbie King. So thank you to all the soldiers out there. Several are on here right now. I know Annette. I know Kevin there. Semper Fi. Hoorah.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So anyway, have a great one. Don't get stuck in the mire. Keep it on the road. Love you. Bye.